Tonight we're going to conclude this time in the summer when we hear from our different ministers of the church. And tonight Brother Bill is going to be speaking. I've shared this before. I went to Bible school midterm, or mid-year I should say, the January term. And Brother Bill was one of the first ones in the men's dorm to befriend me. He had hair back then. Of course, I did too, but he came and invited me to his room and sat and chatted with me. And I've always appreciated that. You may have noticed Brother Bill's always had an excellent spirit. You know, whatever the situation, he's always had an excellent spirit. And I appreciate that. When we have visitor preachers and different ones come through set in his Sunday school class, they always say, "Wow." We had a visitor Sunday morning, and he came out of the room, and he said, "Wow, he puts it out there, doesn't he?" And so tonight he's going to come and put it out there. Amen. So let's just listen with our hearts, and we serve a great God, and God wants to speak to us in the remainder of this service.
Well, tonight it's going to go way out there. So I hope you brought your thinking caps with you. You know, when I met Brother Hurst, and I did invite my room, I think we might have popcorn or something, I was actually so intrigued with that oaky foreign accent and that big old gawky kid, and he was brilliant. I found that out very quickly, and I am thrilled to call him not just my pastor, but my friend. And matter of fact, I feel very comfortable among friends tonight. That's why I wore this tie. My wife said, "Why did you wear that goofy tie?" And I said, "Look, we might as well have some fun. I mean, Brother Estes or Brother Hurst might not get away with wearing ties like this, but I'm a teacher. So tonight, you can call me Treacher, because I'm going to kind of preach and kind of teach a little bit. I've already introduced you what I'm going to talk about. Were you here Sunday night? Oh, I am so concerned about the we call them public schools, but really that's a misnomer. They're really government schools. They're really a classic philosophical indoctrination of a way to think and not be individual, not be creative, not just focus on what your family needs, but what do we need as a nation, as a society? And unfortunately, we are not thinking straight as a people. And as we look across the horizon financially and politically, and we might wonder, where is their thinking? Well, there's a reason for that. And tonight I'd like to kind of share with you the background of how we've gotten to where we got. But before I do that, I kind of need to reteach a little bit. And actually, what I'm going to share with you tonight is one of my first lectures that I give my biology classes. And usually they walk out of the room on that first day like, "Who is that guy, and what planet is he from?" So you might think that a little bit tonight, but that's okay, because I need you to rethink what you think you know. Do you really know what you know, and what's up with that? So Brother Mike, and he's going to have to hit me tonight with the different slides we're going to be talking about, and I kind of titled this with a question. Maybe. Is it up there? It might come, maybe eventually. Well, I told you I was going to teach, and why there's a PowerPoint coming up, maybe, if it's coming across. He's looking for it back there somewhere. I got to do some writing. I just can't stand up here behind the pulpit and yak and holler and spit. I got to teach. What do you know? That might not be a great title for a message, but what do you know? What? Really, what is? What is what? What is worthy? What do you really? What do you, who are you? You might be asking yourself this in a little bit. What do you know? Do you really know what you think you know? John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. If you want to stand, we can all read this together. In the beginning, when was that? We're not really privy to that knowledge. Somewhere back there, long before we were here, in the beginning was the Word. Capital W there, very important. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. What do you know? Let's pause and pray. Master, we humble ourselves before you tonight. What a privilege it is to stand with this congregation thinking through your word, and may we truly have a biblical worldview that'll help us help us conquer through you according to your grace. For your impact in this service tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian. I appreciate that. I might need that here in a little bit. What do you know? That's a question we come up, and we, you know, it's a kind of a casual question. We really don't want to know what people know, but, you know, it's kind of a conversation starter. And as we go into the course of life, and we try to figure things out, and I tell you what, I've been on this earth now 5 decades, and everything I learn, you know what I'm discovering? I really don't know. The more you know, the more you understand that you really don't get it. And I know people think they've arrived. They got it figured out. Matter of fact, you're going to go from high school and maybe step on a college level. And I can't tell you how many young people through the years in our church have started off, raised from kindergarten level all through our Sunday school program, taught God's ways, sat under anointed preaching, and then go off to a professor somewhere who begins dismantling all the principles, the fact that God created. They dismantle the principles of who God is. And they'll talk in terms of, well, you've been brainwashed. And they'll use great big long words to explain to you the massive evolutionary processes that accidentally, by random happen chance, created all this thing. I used the word created, didn't I? They might sometimes. But I accidentally brought about everything that is. And they'll stand up and, no, all that religion stuff, all that God stuff, that's just superstition. We deal with fact. We deal with reality. In this classroom, whether it's biology or whatever science it might be, they will say, we deal in substance. We don't go to that foolish brainwashing that those hokey people back in that fundamental wacko church indoctrinated you and brainwashed you with all those years. Oh, really? Well, as you talk to that professor or you discuss things with him, you might find that what he knows, does he really? For instance, he might use some things like, he'll write up a big thing where you just had a text that said, in the beginning was the Word. Right there's a, what is that? What is that right here, gang? What is that? It's a word, right? No, it's not. It's ink on a board. Electrons exciting on a computer screen somewhere. Ink on a page. You have never in your life seen a word. Do you know what? You know why? They don't exist. All this has been taking place for the past few minutes are two little strips of tissue here in my throat have been vibrating at the exact same rate and speed and pitch. Two little pieces of tissue on either side of your head have been vibrating at the exact same rate of these two little tissues. That's all that's been happening. You just think you know words, but you have never in your life seen a word. I could be standing up here going, and make just as much sense in my mind as the word makes to you. You have been brainwashed to think that words actually mean something. Conditioned by your parents, right? Now, I know I have limited time here, so I got to rush through this, right? But wait a minute. What is time? Have you ever seen time in your life? Is that time? No. Mechanical objects on your wrist or your cell phone or on the back of that wall. You've never possessed time. Do you have a yesterday? Oh, really? Do you have a tomorrow? Do you have a right now? Where'd it go? Because it's gone. Do you have a right now? No longer do you. What is time? Prove it. Is it real? Have you ever touched, tasted time? Huh? What's this? What is that, Deb? What, two? That's ink on a board, dear. You're not listening very close, are you? There's no such thing as a two. Wait a minute. You go to a public school or a Christian school or a homeschool, and they sit down, they teach you something about math. You think that's a two? That's fingers. Ink on a board, electrons on. There are no numbers, ladies and gentlemen. And you walk into the class and you say, gee, I'm a tree. But the reality is, there are no mathematics. They don't exist. You've never seen one in your entire life. But you say, Brother Bill, I know that I am. Oh, really? How do you know your alarm clock's not going to go off in a few minutes and you're going to wake up from a dream and you're going to have to go through an entire Wednesday and then put up with Brother Bill tonight, a Wednesday night, because you're still asleep? Do you know that you're not? Oh, I know I'm not. I'm awake. Oh, have you ever wakened from a dream in a cold sweat? And whew, glad that was a dream. Do you know you're not dreaming? Do you know that somebody hasn't slipped something in your milk over supper? And we're all hallucinating. This is just one drug trip. Ooh, the colors. Do you know that? I mean, people on hallucinations and drug trips, they've done things like, you know, scratch off their face and do really bizarre things because they don't know what is really real or what is not real. Are you really here? Do you know that? Well, I know I'm matter. Listen, solid mass, right? What is the basic structure of all matter? I'm teaching. You're so allowed to respond. Atoms. Atoms are made of subatomic particles. Particles, remember that? In the nucleus, there are protons and neutrons. And around that nucleus, moving at the speed of light, are electrons. Wow. Oh, that must be really cool, right? You know who's ever seen one? Nobody. Do we really know? Let's go a little step further. If my fist was the size of an average nucleus of your typical atom, do you know how close the closest electrons would be to my fist? Approximately back at Von Hall. That's how close it would be. What's between this nucleus and that electron? Nothing. Empty space. So I'm jumping on mostly nothing. Do you really exist? If matter is mostly empty space, then what do we think we are? And so when that scientist stands up and he pontificates and he says, I know for a fact, ladies and gentlemen, he knows nothing. The words he's communicating don't exist. The mathematical proofs he tries to propose aren't there. Even the substance that he says is there isn't provable at all. So what are we left with, ladies and gentlemen? Can we know God? I see heads nodding. How do you know that you know him? What is substance of things we hope for? What is the evidence of things we can't see? Faith. Ladies and gentlemen, what you know, you only know by faith. So it isn't what you think you know, Sister Rose. It's what you believe is true. If you believe that there is a word and he spoke into existence a reality, then we have a context for a mathematically calculatable universe brought about by an orderly God who made it. Your faith is in him. Faith, that intelligent, brilliant professor who says, prove to me, God. What's his faith on? Here's your faith.
Truth. You stand there. What's his faith?
He has no faith. He has no basis for his thinking. He has hypotheses. He has assumptions. He has a blind faith in absolutely nothing. Tell me who's more knowledgeable. Tell me who has a greater foundation for knowing anything. Ladies and gentlemen, you do. You should be able to stand toe to toe with any intellectual, or I should say pseudo-intellectual, on the surface of this earth who says, you don't know fact. What they don't know is they don't know fact. And you know far more reality than they do because your faith is grounded in reality. Because you are a Christian. You are like the Creator God. You have a framework for answering the meaning of life. So let me take you down to the basic question that every person needs to ask themselves. Brother Mike, let's have that primary question. The primary question is, every thinking individual, at some time in your life, you will wrestle with this. Now, you may not sit down and write it out. You may not journal it. You may not be the kind of person who can stare at their belly button for hours and wonder, wow, why? Oh. But maybe you are. And if you are, this question rocks your world because you must know what you believe and why you believe it. What is the primary question? It is, hit me, Brother Mike. It is, it may not be there, I don't know. The primary question is this: what is the origin, nature, and role and destiny of mankind and his universe? In other words, who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? And where am I going when it's all said and done? Actually, I should start off with, how'd I get here? That's the primary question. And so as we move on, go ahead and hit the next slide if you don't mind. There are three basic answers to this primary question. Three basic philosophies. Go ahead and hit the next one. They are, they are not up there. That's odd. They were there before. They disappeared on me somewhere. They were showing when we previewed this at the beginning of the service. Anyway, maybe I will preach instead of teach. The three basic assumptions are this. Christianity answers the primary question with the supposition of what we call theology. Theos meaning God. Ology meaning study. We study God's word, his revealed truth, a foundation for faith that will substantively give you answers for who you are, where you've come from. The second answer, the second philosophy, and by the way, this is the stated philosophy in the Humanist Manifesto and overtly taught in school systems around the world that leave out God. It's called materialism. The basis of the religion or the thinking of materialism is called humanism. Humanism, anytime you put ISM at the end of a word, it absolutizes that word. It literally makes it God. I wonder if I gave you the disc, if that would pull that up. I'll walk this back here. But I won't ring any bells, will I, or buzz anything? You want to try that? We'll try to see if I can hit that again. Materialism. Humanism. That means I am my own God. There is no big G God who created everything. I determine what is right and wrong. Situations bring forth my ethics. There is all relativity among and within morality. Truth is whatever you think it might be based on what you think it is. The third and final perspective of life, and you'll find a lot of these, it's kind of a big word, it's called existentialism, which means to exist, I think I do, therefore it's thought that reigns true, not matter. To the materialist, only matter matters. To the existentialist, only emotion, only experience, only thought. We refer to it as the New Age movement. The age of Aquarius, for those that are old enough to remember back in the 60s, when we had a major move against the materialism of the 50s, and we shoved right on into that existentialist realm of, what is. And it really depends on what your definition of it is, that matters. And we even have a president of the United States. That was his defense in an impeachment process, a total, complete existentialist. And our nation as a whole bought it. Why? Because we have been trained to think materialism and existentialism is a foundation that actually has answers when it doesn't. So let's go through each of these four questions. The first question was, where did we come from? The Bible tells us God created. In the beginning, he created, he spoke into existence. Now, you accept that by faith, but that premise is lost on a lot of people because the materialist says we are here by macro evolution. Notice I said macroevolution. That's different than just evolution. I am an evolutionist. I do believe that evolution is a reality. How else did all these breeds of dogs get here on the earth? I mean, you have a Chihuahua, you have a Great Dane. Those don't look alike. I mean, you try to breed something out of that, it ain't going to happen. What did God create? He created a pair of dogs. How many dogs were on the ark? Only two, a male and a female. That's it. But today we have all kinds of different unique creatures that all belong to the genus of dog. Now, you do not have a cat accidentally having a dog. Here, kitty pup. No, it won't happen. You cannot cross from one genus into another. That is macroevolution. Microevolution is diversity. It is creating within a given genus, or the Bible calls the word, says the word kind. Let everything reproduce after its own kind. So we have great diversity brought about by, yes, it has evolved. And so when somebody speaks in the classroom and they say, well, evolution is true, and here's this, that, and the other, they're right. But as soon as they start saying, over time, fish turned into amphibians, and amphibians turned into reptiles, and reptiles turned into mammals, and here we are today from a monkey, no, that is a falsehood. And yet they'll point out things today. They'll show adaptation. They'll show migration. They'll show change within a given genus, just like the Bible says it will, but they cannot show you anything that supports a macroevolutionary theory. Origins by materialism, it's a washout. It's mental bankruptcy, and it's pretty easy to get it proven. The third answer, they're the existentialist answer. They say we came by reincarnation. You better be careful, because that grasshopper right there might have been your aunt in the last life, but she was just a bad woman, so she ended up as a cockroach or a grasshopper or something this life. We are reincarnating every day, and every way we're getting better. And if we don't, in the next life we might, and you might come back as an angel, or eventually we'll all be God in the eternal bliss of light. So let's empty ourselves and meditate. Because this doesn't really matter. Christianity doesn't matter. All that matters is this existentialist, transcendental reality of right now, whatever you want to imagine is. There are many ways to gods, because there's all kinds of gods to travel to. Whatever you want to believe, that's fine with me. Existentialism rules in our world because we have been trained and educated. Oh, looky there. Here they come. The second answer. Theology, humanism, the New Age movement. Then we have the origins, where we've come from. Creation, make revolution, reincarnation. Now let's answer that question of what are we? The answer from the Christian, we are created with intentional purpose and design in the image of our Creator. There's a reason for why we look the way we look. We are a tripart creature, just like God. He's three, yet one. You're three, yet we're one. I don't walk up and say, hi, Jessica, how are all you doing today? Unless she's a little bit of schizophrenic, but she's not. Trust me, I don't think she is. But she has a soul. She has a body. She has a spirit. She's distinctly in the image of God, created perfectly with incredible beauty and complexity, with design by Him. You have unbelievable wisdom behind your existence here. What does the materialist say? You're just an animal. That's why we expect you the way you act in school. Nothing better can be expected of you. If you're a criminal, it's not your fault. You were dropped on your head as a baby. Or you're just maybe mistreated as a little animal, a little critter. So we're just going to put you in a cage called a jail, keep you away from society for a while. But it's not your fault. You're just an animal. We're just evolved a little bit higher on the scale. So that's why we can act this baser nature. That's why there's really no reality for us other than survival of the fittest. Might makes right. Go for the gusto. Manipulate all you can. Climb to the top of the heap. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says our measure of success is by how many we serve, not how many are under us being driven down by us. It's the exact opposite. Is there any wonder why our nation is run in the exact opposite of biblical principles? Because we are thinking, not we in this church, but generically out there, hopefully nobody in here, out there they're thinking, that's all we are. Matter is the only thing that matters. The answer of the existentialists, we're just in one big continuum, recycling past and an eternal past. Everything is dialectic. You see, in Western culture, we tend to think linearly. We think in terms of history, now, and future. Not so in Asian cultures. You investigate Taoism, spelled T-A-O-I-S-M, and it's intriguing to me how many Christians actually wear the yin and yang on their jewelry, on their person, or the broken cross of Nero. They call it peace, baby. It's not peace. It is symbolism of an existentialist philosophy that a lot of Christians buy into because they don't know. They don't understand the significance of what they're doing. It isn't yin and yang. Evil is equal to good. Love is equal to hate. Light is equal to darkness. No, ladies and gentlemen. God is absolute, total power over Satan. He has no power against God. But according to Taoism, according to existentialism, everything is in a continuum. Everything is in a flux. The only absolute there is change, and that is not so. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We cannot adopt the philosophies of the world and thinking everything's in flux, and so we need to throw off some of those old traditions. We need to forge new paths. We need new standards. No, we don't. We need the standards laid out by God's word so we can think clearly Christian-like. So, where we've come from, who we are, now, what's my role? Here's the third part of that primary question. We are created to have fellowship with our Creator. That's what Adam and Eve did in the garden. That's what you're called to seek Him, to know Him, to think His thoughts after Him, to have fellowship with Him, to dig into His Word. That gives you purpose. That gives you a reality of living. That gives you something to look forward to, not just here, but forever and ever and ever. What does the materialist say? Right now is all that matters. He who dies with the most toys wins. Go for all you can get, because right now, baby, is all you got. And the materialists only, they have no meaning. It is so empty. That's why, 3 or 4 weeks ago, the director and producer of several major movies. You might know about Top Gun, Days of Thunder, several others. The director, an incredibly wealthy man, had it all together, unbelievably popular and well-known, jumped off the San Francisco Bridge. He wrote a note in his office and said, "I don't have anything to live for. I've reached the best of the best, and I found it come up short." And now he's in hell, probably because of the philosophical foundation of what he has done. Why? Because materialism has no answer for you. Existentialism, let's go to the third answer of a lot of the world. We're all going to a higher state of being. We're all, every day in every way, we're becoming more elite, more greater phenomena of understanding. Reach out to the occult. Reach out to spiritualism. Reach out to experiences beyond this life. Try some drugs. Try some existentialist activities, because how dare you judge somebody of a different lifestyle? How dare you judge until you've actually experienced yourself? Because remember, experience is the only measure of true reality to the true existentialist. That's why ultimately they'll have to kill themselves. Because then they would have to say, well, something else could happen to me that I didn't plan out, that I didn't existentially have. And so that really takes me to the fourth and final answer to the primary question: where are we going to go? What is our destiny? Ladies and gentlemen, there's only two directions: heaven or hell. To the degree that you buy into, live out, fundamentally have faith in the scriptures of a living God who wants to flow through you, and someday you're going to take your Father's hand and you're going to go home. What's a materialist have to live for? Nothing. There's a period at the end of the sentence. When you're dead, you're dead, you're dirt, you take the dirt nap, boop, that's it. It's as if you never existed at all. What is that to look forward to? No wonder so many materialists who say that's all there is when they get cancer, when the atheists, when they're coming to their last breath, they cry out. They're in agony. And oftentimes I think that they are so twisted in their mind, they don't reach out to God because they're so perverted in their thinking. They have so chosen the reprobate way by saying there is no supernatural. There is no such thing as a soul. Then they come to the end and they just have nothing. Last but definitely not least, the answer of the existentialist: we're all heading towards nirvana. Oh, we're going to the higher state of the eternal lightness of being. And you'll experience light at the end of the tunnel. And we'll all become all-knowing, all-one with the all-universe. And then we'll get to do it all over again. Whatever you want to believe, that's okay. Come, take my hand. Let's be gods together to the forest and the trees as we take care of the utopia of the earth. Because, isn't everything grand? Because nothing really matters of any meaning at all. Talking about empty, talking about circular thinking, talking about rhetorical ridiculousness, that's existentialism. Our society lives in the second and the third philosophical worldviews. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians also who live there. Oh, they eclectically pick and choose a little bit of salvation stuff. They know the Christian jargon. They go to church and they act a certain way, but when they're with their materialistic friends, they act another way. Oh, when they're with their parents and they see what's going on, you know, they toe the mark. They hold a standard. But then when they get out with others, or they get away from home and away from church and they launch off on their own, suddenly they want to experience and try out new things. They want to sow their wild oats. They want to see what they've been missing. Ladies and gentlemen, especially young people, you have a framework for knowing what you believe and why you believe it. And matter of fact, it was Martin Luther who said, go ahead and toss up that quote, Brother Mike, if you don't mind. And he said, "I am much afraid that schools will prove to be the great gates of hell unless they diligently labor and explain the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place a child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not increasingly occupied with the Word of God must by default become corrupt." We have, ladies and gentlemen, are now reaping in a society a 180 degrees away from biblical foundation, because where is truth? Truth is just in church, right? No. The Word of God must permeate our attitudes, our motives, our thoughts, our actions, our words, before we are accountable for God for all these things all the time. What do you know? My hope and my trust and my prayer is that you know God, that you spend time exposing your finite mind to His infinite mind, that you dig into His Word, memorize, meditate, speak His truth. in such a way that it becomes more and more natural for you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, that's the only framework we have for right here, right now. If you live to be 100 years, what's that compared to 1 billion years from now? 1 trillion years from now? You will go on forever and ever and ever. And right now, as you're on the job training, right now, as you interact with other people, and they may have odd ways of looking at things, and they may have odd conversations and odd perspectives, that's okay. If you know what you believe and why you believe it, you can lead them by faith to a Savior who lovingly wants to envelop not just their actions and their emotions, but their mind and their thinking to take truth and live it out. Are we doing that? I believe we are. I am so thankful to be raising my children in a congregation of believers who do seek God, who do hold to His standards, who love Him with all your heart. What a privilege it is. So as we come and pray tonight, go ahead and stand with me if you don't mind. And if there's going to be some music, and music can come on up. I don't know if there's anybody that's plugging in there. Word, is that for real? Yes, it is. Why? Because I have faith in an author who really made atoms, who really created everything that is, and who will take you home someday. Think after him. Why don't you come on up to the altars and spend a few moments talking to your Creator. Come on, let's pray.
Because of who I am, but because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean. Because of who you are, I am. place.